Beautiful people, this is The Moments Podcast, and I'm your host, Lexi Hidalgo. I hope you're ready to learn a little bit something new about yourself or the world, or feel a little bit more seen, heard, and understood, because you are, and you are beautiful and valuable, and I want to be your big sister and your best friend, and I'm going to remind you of that, hopefully, in each and every episode that you listen to. So tune in and enjoy the moment.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, my beautiful people. Welcome back to The Moments Podcast. This episode, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. One, Leia is laying right next to me and she won't go on the couch. So her snoring is probably going to be in the background and we're going to pretend it's like peaceful birds. Okay, because the second thing that I'm about to tell you, I have been having a day, having a week, and it could do with the fact that I drank this past weekend, but like my anxiety has been eating me alive. Therefore, this might be one of those episodes where I break down into tears a couple times unintentionally. And I could just not record. I could wait to record, of course, because I, you know, who wants to cry on the, it's so embarrassing to be going through shit. And one thing that's important to me is being vulnerable about that and being honest about it and being real about it. And like, yeah, I still have some valuable things I can share with you, even if my mental health isn't on top of the world. And if you ever feel alone in your anxiety, where like you feel so debilitated and like you can't do anything and you feel embarrassed and ashamed of it, don't, okay? It is human. You guys know the other most important thing to me is making sure that nobody feels alone and you are not the only one struggling with what you're struggling with. Even if we have completely different lives, we all go through some of the same emotions. Like Lisette, for example, is working in Jacksonville, struggling with anxiety about a completely different topic than I am, but we're feeling the same things where you can't finish sentences without a tear coming to your eye, you get the shakes, you can't eat, you feel helpless a little bit. And it's human and it's okay. And I'm still gonna give you guys some good thoughts and things, because the reason all of this anxiety came up is gonna be kind of what this topic is going to be on. Like I'm already losing my train of thought. Let me take this from the beginning. My anxiety's been really bad today. I have been having like these crazy thoughts and all of these doubts, and it leads me into these mental battles with myself. And not just now, the topic of this is going to be these mental battles on a lighter scale, on a heavier scale, in every single way that they affect us, and how they can affect us in our life, and how we can stop fighting with ourselves in our mind. Because something that I have struggled with for as long as I can possibly remember, I'm talking back to middle school, high school, I'm sure I've talked about this on Moments before, and I try to talk about it less because, you know, the more we say we struggle with things, the more we really do struggle with them. And it's such a catch-22, because at the same time, I think it's so important to talk about your struggles. But the more you associate with that struggle, the more your body is going to act on it, your mind is going to believe it, and the more that you're going to feel it. So for the future, be aware of that. But for the sake of this moment and this episode, I have struggled with this for years and years and years, trying to argue with myself over every topic. Like, decisions aren't easy for me, even simple ones, because every decision I have to make turns into this debilitating argument that happens in my head. It's like if you looked at a movie, watched a movie, saw a clip of, you know, the angel on one shoulder, the devil on another, how they jokingly go back and forth at each other. Like, that's what happens to me in my brain. But it's not the angel and the devil. It's just, I guess, two versions of me, two perceptions of me, two things in my head just attacking one another. And it makes me go so against myself. And, it, you know, another thing I find really, really important for each individual to remember is that you have to be your biggest fan. You have to cheer for yourself. And you have to give yourself grace and compassion. But when there's two things in your brain attacking each other, it's really hard to do that. So if anybody else struggles with that conflict, that constant conflict in your mind, this is kind of an episode for you. We're just gonna really talk through it, because I'm not a professional, and I think even if I was a professional, the tools that I might be able to share with you might not work for you on battling this. But sometimes it's just nice to hear somebody else going through what you might be going through. And even if this happens to you on a lighter scale, there might be something good to take away from this. Or if you just struggle with overthinking and anxiety and insecurity or fear of rejection or fear of failure, all of those things can kind of go under this umbrella. Because let me just explain to you why I'm so like teary-eyed and a mess right now, and how this even got to this point. Because it's really silly and it's really frustrating that something so minor can affect me in the way that it does. I'm, you know, trying to give myself grace and compassion and understanding that, like, it's okay, it's human for this one tiny thing to ruin your whole day, even though I'm working hard not to let it ruin my day. Point is, sometimes shit takes work. Work, things that are easy for other people might not be easy for us. So Gabe and I got into not even an argument. Like, let me emphasize that. Gabe and I didn't even get in an argument. We just, like, had a discussion about something totally normal and, like, totally fine and valid, that both of us need to, like, do some of our own stuff sometimes, because our lives are so busy right now with each other, which is wonderful, but both of us are, like, lacking in our other friendships, and not in a codependent way, in the way that, like, our life has not had much opportunity, much free time to pour into other things. And it was just a conversation that we had, and, like, after it and during it, all my brain can do, like, my little weak mind only goes into my head and says, well, he's gonna run away, he's gonna give up on you, he doesn't want to be with you, he doesn't want to spend time with you, clearly all he wants to do is be with his other friend, he's just gonna drop me. That's what my brain does. And it sounds so stupid, but if you've ever struggled with overthinking, you can understand how much those thoughts can pile up, and that they can literally convince you that that's what's happening, even if it's not what is happening at all. And that's also sometimes a really hard point to get across to someone. Like, if you're taking something so minor and you're taking it so heavily and it's affecting you so much, and, like, you feel dramatic and crazy about it, it's hard to explain to somebody why that's happening to you. You know, because you don't blame them. You can't blame them. I can't blame Gabe for wanting to have a conversation with me. I can only blame this part of my brain that does that. So then this leads into this battle, and I start to overthink. I start to get anxious. I start to lose my appetite. I start to get shaky. I start to get all of this fear that begins to eat me from the inside out. Fear, whether it's fear of, like, rejection or failure, there's clearly some deep traumas that I'm fighting that make me have this attachment style. Not attachment style, I don't know how to explain it, but I just get really scared of losing things that I love. And this isn't just in my relationship. This is in every aspect of my life. This is with my friendships and my relationships with my family. Like, this happens to me in a lot of cases. Now, backing it up, this has me in this battle in my mind where I'm asking myself, like, oh my God, am I a terrible girlfriend? Am I the worst person in the world? Am I letting people down? Have I been a bad friend to my friends? Have I poured too much time into one person and not another? And, like, it just goes back and forth and back and forth. And when that happens, if you've struggled with it, you know that it makes it really difficult for you to be in the present moment, and it really throws you anywhere but where you are. So, my first piece of advice is to take a deep breath, which is what I had to do before I started this episode. But once I started it, obviously I had to re-go through all of these moments in my brain. And sometimes it just takes one little moment to snap all those thoughts back into my brain and trigger them. So honestly, I'm fighting demons right now on the inside, but we're doing it together and we're getting through it. And it's strange because when you Google how to stop these battles in your mind, one of the first articles that pops up is like the medications that can help it. I'm not someone who's anti-medication, but I am someone who's anti-medication as the first option. I know that the way we've talked about my ADHD and how I don't take Adderall for it, but also I know that I would really probably benefit from being on some anxiety meds based on how I wake up and how my cortisol and my stress levels are every single day because of my anxiety. But that's not something I want to add to my life right now. I don't think that's the solution. So instead of Googling how to stop fighting yourself in your mind and seeing that, I want this to be somewhere you could come and just listen to some of the things that I maybe do that maybe will work for you, maybe will not. Also some backstory of like, this happens to us because sometimes I like to know why we feel things. And a lot of mental health struggles, you're never gonna know why. And there's not science that can explain it. Sometimes there is, but there's times where there's not. But I like when there is. And part of the reason that we can face so much conflict and so much overthinking on certain topics is because it is human nature for our minds to want to problem solve, to evaluate things, to figure them out. Therefore, this can stir up some conversations in our brain, which is healthy. You don't want to just impulsively make decisions without thinking about all of the options or what there could be or what could happen. You want to problem solve and evaluate. The problem is that we attach this problem solving part of our brain to our emotional brain. And the two try to work together when they're not necessarily supposed to work cohesively. Your emotional brain is a lot different than your physical brain, your logical brain. They are two different characters, two different paths that are supposed to run together, but separate, not like intertwined, if that makes any sense. And for me, this just brings me a lot of comfort. And honestly, I was reading this in articles even today, and it helped me through the moment of this crazy little anxiety attack I was having before I even started recording today. And it brought me some peace because I can now recognize that I need to just every once in a while separate my emotional mind from my logical mind and let myself problem solve in my head, have these conflicts. They don't all have to be unhealthy. And then do the problem solving and then come back to my emotional mind and let the two work together. I'm hoping that a little bit of that can make sense in some way, shape, or form. And these conflicts, I want to give you some other examples of ways that they show up in my life because, like I said, it's everything. Like, it can be as simple as, like, should I walk the dog right now or should I do it after I make breakfast? And it won't just be, like, those two options. Those two options will lead me down a spiral of, okay, how is it going to affect my day if I do one of these things now and the other one later? And it will just go on and on and on. And another battle I used to face a lot with it, less now because time heals everything and everything gets better. Another important reminder was when I was first kind of trying to drink less because, not that I ever had problems with it, but I loved to drink and I loved to be the life of the party. And if you've listened long enough, you know the whole deeper story on me and alcohol and like the way I feel about it. But when I first wanted to stop drinking, I would be so conflicted in my mind because I knew that I had fun when I did, and I knew that people loved that side of me that got everybody else having a good time and was so outgoing and just really likable. I was so afraid to let myself not drink and to go to a social setting and not drink. One, because I get social anxiety like a crazy person. Two, because I had the social anxiety because I have this deeper fear of rejection and this fear of people not liking me. And I thought that nobody would want me around and I would be too boring if I wasn't drinking. But on the other end, I knew how alcohol made me feel and I know what it does to my brain. And honestly, backing it up even more, like side note, side quest, I drank this weekend, and that's a huge factor in why I feel this right now. Alcohol makes my anxiety just go through the roof. My cortisol levels through the roof. My everything gets messy when I drink. And that's something that happened for me recently. I didn't have that problem when I was in high school, when I was in college. Like, it was just fun at the time. But it's true what they say. The older you get, like, the more shit gets real. And unfortunately, I can't drink anymore without falling into a deep, dark place for a few days. But I would go back and forth with myself on both of those ideas. And, I mean, just fight myself so crazily that I just avoided any opportunity where drinking could be an option because I didn't want to get in this fight with myself. And that's so silly. Like, when you take a step back and you take an overview of your life and you look at that, like, that's really dramatic. And in the moment, was it dramatic? No, not at all. I couldn't even fathom having to make those decisions. I was just constantly stressing about it. And this also happens, I wrote down some things, like doing certain things or taking certain leaps in your career, I would battle with myself on, well, are people going to like me if I do this? Am I going to like myself if I do this? Am I going to have anxiety if I do this? Is this going to scare me? Is this a bad idea? Like, what if it pushes me back in one end of my career and pushes me forward in another? What if I lose this person because of this? And if I don't communicate with, like, I'm talking every single thing you could possibly imagine. And if you are that person too, we've now gone into my tips and tricks that sometimes work for me and sometimes might work for you, because every individual is different. Every situation is different. There are certain moments in our life where these conflicts are kind of called for, and the craziness that our brain can do to us is reasonable. And there's times where it's silly. Never feels silly. But, like, talking about myself here, some of the shit that drives me crazy and ruins my days could be avoided if I shifted my mindset and executed it right. But again, it's always easier said than it is to be done. So here are my tips. Quick intermission. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We all hold way too much heaviness on our shoulders, on our chest. We keep things in our mind that we need to release. And sometimes it feels like there's nobody in our life that we can release our feelings to. And that's why I am the world's number one advocate for therapy. I love going to therapy. It's honestly been too long since I've been. But we're constantly carrying around so many big stresses, and we keep it bottled up, and it can affect us and the people around us so negatively. So I believe that going to therapy isn't only something that's good for you, but also good for the people around you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I want you to try BetterHelp. It is designed for you. It is designed online. You can connect with a therapist through a chat, through a video call, through a phone call. You can change therapists at no cost. It is made to be easy and affordable for you. It's entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time with no additional charge, like I said. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/moments today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/moments. We all know how much taking a small action can make a big difference in your life or somebody else's life, whether that's smiling at a stranger, waking up 30 minutes earlier, practicing a new skill for a few days. Small actions go a long way. And the small action I've added to my life lately is taking Seeds DS-01 Daily Symbiotic. It helps maintain a healthy gut and healthy digestion. I genuinely feel things moving through my body easier, and I feel better overall taking it. It doesn't only just help your digestion and your gut, it also helps your heart health and your skin, and you just take two little capsules a day. It's also very awesome for me to know that it's backed by science, and lots of it. When it was developed in collaboration with Seed Scientific Board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome, it's a product that you know you can trust. And also, our gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for all of the things like digestion, skin health, heart health, and your immune system. Overall, it is a great thing that you should take. So trust your gut with Seeds DS-01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com
www.mindfulnessmoments.com/moments and use code 25moments to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seeds DS-01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/moments. Code 25moments. You're going to absolutely love it. It's been my favorite thing to take.
The first one, and obviously, is to journal. I have not yet whipped out my journal and wrote about what my brain did to me this morning, but I could not be more excited to do so. And the second this podcast is over, that's what I'm going to do. And even just writing that journal entry, I was fighting with myself on, because I was like, well, I have so much work to do. I can't take 15 minutes and journal. Girl, yes, you can. Time moves on. The day, like, there's time to do that. If writing in this journal is going to make you feel better, you're probably going to work harder and work better once you feel better. So create the time and create the space to go reflect and to go write. And don't avoid doing it because you might cry when you do it. Like, I know whenever I do post some journal entries, I get a couple of DMs that are talking about how, well, I want to journal, but I don't want to have to resurface these emotions. Sometimes the only way that we can get past the emotions is to resurface them, is to bring them up and fully release them onto the paper, into the world, because otherwise, if you're not doing something just because you're afraid to feel the feelings that are already within you, guess what? They're just going to stay within you. So you have to write. You have to write and you have to release in order to move past a situation. And also, if it is conflict that you're struggling with because of whatever, oh no, my fiddle tree lost a leaf. Sorry, side note, I just looked over since we're still recording from my room, no podcast room yet. I got this tree and it was doing so well and it just lost a leaf. Maybe that's a sign from, I don't know. But if your conflict is causing you to overthink and causing you to have anxiety and causing whatever it may be in your life, like, write down both of the options. And writing them on paper, I say this over and over again, a million times in a row, you can't organize all of the thoughts that you have going on in your mind at all until you try to put them on paper. Our brains are only so big, and that's not a diss. I'm sure you're all very intelligent and we're all very smart and wonderful, but like, your brain is only so big to hold all of these thoughts, especially if you're somebody who's overthinking in the moment and it's just piling and piling and piling up. You gotta evaluate it, okay? Write your pros, write your cons, write your yes and your no's and your why. And actually, something my therapist told me when I first ever discussed this conflict problem with her was to write a pros and cons list, but for each thing. So let's say my question is to go out tonight and drink or not, or to stay home. That's what my brain is battling itself on. Silly example. I wish I could think of something deeper, but brain's kind of on the surface right now. Write a pros and cons for staying in. And then write a pros and cons for going out. So it's like a four-way pros and cons list. Now, my addition to that, because that's like physical things, surface things, in each of those options, I want you to ask yourself, why am I even considering this option? Right? For example, the going out thing for me, I don't gain anything when I go out at all. I simply go out to please other people. So evaluate your options and see, are you even having this conflict because you're going to do something good for yourself, because it's going to bring you joy, it's going to bring you happiness, you're going to bond with people, you're going to enjoy yourself, you're going to gain something, you're going to be there for somebody you love? Or is it an option because you're doing it for validation, for praises, for other people, for materialistic reasons, to show face? Evaluate your why and just take that into consideration, because the answer might be very clear. If you are doing something and choosing to do something because you want to please somebody else, but it is only going to hurt you in the long run, that answers your question. it shouldn't be a conflict. Again, always easier said than done, but when I evaluate that, my answers usually become pretty clear in my brain. That being said, then they shift into like, oh, but that's going to make that person so upset. Oh my God, I'm going to let this person down. We're going to let people down in our life, unfortunately. It's human. It's how we grow. It's how we learn. But you can't lose yourself to be there completely for someone else. That's not to say you don't have to once in a while, like, compromise and meet someone in the middle. But don't do it so constantly that you don't know who you are anymore. Boom, mic drop. Okay, next one I have written down. Ask people. Ask people that are close to you, that are trustworthy, that know you, that maybe have understood your struggles with overthinking or anxious thoughts or whatever it may be. Somebody who knows you well. Ask them. And if you're with the right people, they'll give you the right advice and they will just be an ear to listen and they will share with you their thoughts in a kind and respectful way. And sometimes that's what I need. Like when I'm struggling with something and battling with it, Lisette is the first person I go to. I'm like, hey, I usually am like super a mess about it. I'm like, my brain is so angry with itself right now. I'm fighting two options and I need you to just hear me out. And maybe tell me what you think. And that's it. You either take what the friend says and you add it into the equation or you don't, but at least you were able to talk to someone. It's similar to journaling. It's getting things out into the open. Journaling is just private and asking people is just less private. And next is to be gracious with yourself about it all. And it's crazy, when I fight with myself in my brain, I get angry at myself, which makes me angry that I'm angry with myself. It's a whole tie. Everything is tied to each other. You have to be gracious even when you feel like so bad and so insane. Like right now, the way that I was just so, I got so sad about the conversation that my boyfriend and I were having about both of us needing to like create more time for the people who are also important in our lives. I got so sad about that. And it makes me feel horrible that I got that way rather than being like so open and excited and communicating properly. And because of that, I'm now fighting way more battles than I need to be. I have to give myself grace for the way that things make me feel and the way that I react. And does that ever make it okay to be closed-minded and to not want to have a conversation and to just be a hot mess? Not necessarily, but it is okay once in a while. Like, we have to get through things and we all are going to do it differently. Did somebody just bang on my garage? Hope not. Leia's not barking. So I think we're fine. Sorry. Got a little confused there. Now, what was I saying? You gotta go through things. You gotta be human. I am somebody who turtles up and I become a shell of a human when I have to argue with somebody because all I feel is guilt, even if it's not an argument where someone's right or wrong. Guilt just can eat me alive in so many ways, in so many friendships. What is going on out front? Sorry guys for being so distracted. Lots of things going on here. Whenever I feel like somebody can hear me, I freeze up in my brain. But I need time to process things. And that is something that I communicate with the people that are close to me. Gabe knows this about me. Him and I both know that by the time tonight comes around and he gets home from work, we'll be able to have a much more conversation about all of this. Leia. Excuse you. There's a lady and her dog walking by. You have something to say, girl? A little intermission. I get ecstatic to read you guys this ad because Thrive Cosmetics has been my go-to mascara and makeup for years now. So getting to be able to tell you about them is truly a dream come true. One thing that I absolutely love about Thrive is that they have clean, skin-loving ingredients and their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. You guys know if you follow me anywhere, but just listening to the podcast, makeup isn't my strongest suit, but I do love to play around with it, and Thrive makes it so simple. And another thing that amazes me about Thrive is that for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products to fund and help communities thrive, which is so beautiful. And they also have an infinity waterproof eyebrow liner, which is so cool. You can get your eyebrows looking exactly how you need them to and then go jump in the pool. But my most favorite, other than their mascara, which is my top tier Thrive Cosmetics product, it's like a liquid lash extensions mascara. It's tubing. I wear it in the water. It doesn't make me look like a raccoon or a panda. It is incredible. But they also have this brilliant eye brightener that you can use as highlighter. You can use it in your inner corner. I have always used it as my inner corner, and it is the best. So refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/moments. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/moments for 10% off your first order. Hear me out. The moms in our life deserve a spa day every single day. My mom is my rock star. She's the best ever, and she prioritizes everybody but herself. I'm amazed at how much she can accomplish in one day. But something super cool is that this Mother's Day, you can make every day a spa day for all of the moms in your life with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo. And let me just tell you right now, I use this duo every day. My skin has never felt softer and smoother and more amazing. But what it is a value pack of two luxurious body care moisturizers. It's the Undaria Algae Body Oil and the Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. And they both have the most incredible citrusy scent. And right now you can get an additional 10% off your first order with code MOMENTS at OseaMalibu.com. And listen, body care is self-care. So give your mom a chance to love herself and give herself the love that she deserves. Treat your mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOMENTS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code MOMENTS for 10% off. Sorry about that. Leia clearly had something to say. I'm done being distracted now. Back to the point. You got to communicate with the people who are close to you, how certain things affect you and how you react. And if you get to a point where you're close enough with them, tell them your why. Tell them the traumas you've struggled with and what you've gone through. Like, part of the reason I get so stressed and nervous and I get so doubtful that Gabe's going to want to stay with me because we have one argument is because in the past, I had an ex-boyfriend who, not to get freaking deep and real, like, took my virginity when I was so scared to do so in the first place, and the next weekend got an STD from somebody else. That was traumatizing for me. And I struggled a lot with that. And I don't ever think about it now, these days, until I really have to evaluate subconsciously. Like, why am I so afraid of that? Why do I get so scared to trust somebody, anybody? And why do arguments make me so tense? And why do I react? Because I have my dad, when I used to get into arguments with him, I feel like I could never get a word in. And I have this fear that that's going to happen in every argument with every man that I ever face. And that's not the case. But if you are comfortable enough with somebody to explain your whys, if you know your whys, do that with them. And the right people will respect it and understand it, and you'll be able to move past it. You get me? And if you don't know your whys, and if you do struggle with this conflict, with becoming a shell, with becoming tense, when you struggle with doubt, like whatever it is, sit down and make that your step one. Figure out your whys, because it's important to know them. Doesn't make the struggles go away ever, but it can help you have more grace and patience with yourself when you do have struggles. Do you feel me? Because we all do. And so many of us just build so much up inside of us, and it's all shown in the way that we react towards people, the way that we react after people react towards us. Like, there's so many things and so many layers to people and to conversations and to each of our minds that you have to give other people grace, and you have to equally give yourself that grace. And now I think that kind of went into whole different can of worms. But while I was on the topic, I might as well have shared it, you know? Anyways. Oh, that's literally the next thing I wrote. If it does involve somebody, be open and honest with them. Like, tell them ahead of time, hey, this is what arguments do to my brain sometimes. Sometimes I need to decompress, write about it, write to this person. Like, one thing for me, I used to be really, really non-confrontational. And when I would fight with people, I would text about it. And I know that's not healthy. I love human connection. And now I'm much better at having conversations in person. But if something does, like, strike me hard enough in the heart, sometimes my only way to properly voice my feelings, because like I was doing in the, even the beginning of this episode, like having to talk about things that are anxiety inducing in me, I simply cry and I can't put things into words. I don't have words. And then I'm embarrassed that I'm crying. So sometimes typing things out is what's best for me. So that's what I have to do. And I like to tell people that ahead of time, you know? The next one, if we're going back to simply just having conflict in your mind, the quicker you make a decision, I'm talking, this is more on surface level things. If you're actually just deciding between two options and you're going back and forth about it, one way to really shut your brain up is to make the decision. The faster you do it, the easier it's going to be and the better you're going to feel. And of course, I know, easier said than done. Trust me. Make the decision though. And then you'll probably still have to fight yourself on why you made the decision, but the decision is made and you're not like, this way, that way, this way, that way. You're like, was this a bad idea or a good idea? Which is a much better feeling than the back and forth. The next few are dependent on the person. When people have anxiety, sometimes they like to walk. Not me, not me. When I am having an anxiety-ridden day, a walk is about the last thing that I want to do because I have free time for my brain to think. And a walk doesn't get rid of those thoughts in a healthy way for me. Like, it just turns them on repeat mode and it makes them worse every time I think them. That's where journaling is better for me than going for a walk. Some people like to nap. I've never tried this because I just have a hard time napping anyways. But sometimes if you just sleep something off, you'll wake up and the thoughts will be less hectic, which is great for a lot of people. Some people like to work out. This is one that I, depending on my levels of anxiety, can be good for me. Like, if I'm more of an angry anxious, I like a workout. If I'm like, fuck you, do-do-do-do-do, I hate myself, not to be crazy and serious, but I'm going to go work out because I'm going to use that anger and the way that I'm treating myself so horribly, and I'm going to put it into my workout instead of putting it into myself. You get me? If I'm sad anxious and the world is crumbling and that's what it feels like, I'm not going to work out because I'm just going to cry. I'm going to cry in my workout and that's not what I'm going to do. Instead, I'm going to distract myself, but like in a focused distraction. I'm either going to do something that's towards my work. Like even in this, I am distracting myself from what my brain was doing toxically to myself, and I'm voicing those feelings and sharing those things and sharing those lessons with somebody that it might be good for, which is also essentially my work. Like I'm moving forward and I'm moving in the right direction while distracting myself from what was eating me alive in a healthy way. I'm not going to distract myself by mindlessly scrolling. Sometimes that happens and I understand it. I find myself in a mindless scroll more often than I would like to, but doing this is not going to bring good things to you. You're only letting time for more negativity to build up in your mind and in your heart and in your body. A mindless scroll is never good for anything unless you're just taking a little joy break, you know? Not anti-mindless scroll, but I'm anti-mindless scroll as a coping mechanism. That makes sense? Listen to good things. Like if you're struggling and you're listening to even a podcast like this one, not to toot any of my own kind of horn, is good because we're talking about things. End of story. We're talking about the struggles that we have and we're talking about ways to release them and move forward. And even if listening to this podcast doesn't change your life overnight, because I could tell you countless times I have tried to listen to podcasts to make myself feel better and they do nothing, at least I know that I'm giving myself something good to consume. something valuable, whether it hits me in that moment or not. The next one is cliche, but drink your damn water and take a breath. We are so dehydrated half the time. Fuel yourself, eat a banana, make a bagel, like just eat something. And when I struggle with my anxiety on certain days and certain moments, I can't eat a thing. Like, this is only when my anxiety is really bad do I lose my appetite. But if you are having a hard time eating because you're so anxious, it's probably what you need to do most. When we eat, we can calm our body. Like, physically, scientifically, I can't give you the science behind it, but I know that it is a fact. You might just need a carb, a potato chip, a bagel, a toast, something. And drink your water. Drink a Gatorade. Do something physical that's going to help you. And also, the last two I have, practice non-attachment from these conflicts and these really negative emotions. View yourself as something separate than what your mind is doing. Like, close your eyes for me. If you're driving, obviously don't, but if you're not, close your eyes right now. I'm doing it with you. Take a deep breath. Now you see how when you're not talking, your mind is still having conversations. We can feel that. It's really hard to turn those off. So I want you to take that mind and the little people having conversations in it with your eyes closed and visually, like, pull it out and put it next to you. The two of you don't have to be attached. You can practice non-attachment from these thoughts. They're going to be there. And in some cases, medically, these thoughts aren't going to change with just a shift in our mindset. But you can separate yourself from them. You can give yourself the strength to be separate from your thoughts. Now that you visualize that, you can open your eyes back up. But I just wanted you to really recognize your thoughts don't have to control you, even if you can't control your thoughts. You feel me? Last one. Challenges are inevitable. Whether you're struggling with conflict in friendships, relationships, your career, personal goals, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, family struggles, like, it is inevitable to face challenges. And for me, when people tell me this, when I'm going through something, it doesn't always help. Like, it really doesn't. I'm like, I know, but I want it over. I get that. I do. But it is important to remember it. We're going to have ups and downs, and that life is full of them. And the only way to grow is really to struggle. And that's okay. We live and we learn and we go and we move and we groove and we figure it out as we go. But I hope that there's something you were able to take away from this that could have helped you in any kind of way. Sorry, I was a little bit all over the place. I did try to follow my mini outline that I wrote, tried to keep it structured, but I am human and I am having one of those days. So I love you and I am thinking of you and I am praying for you and I'm always so proud of you, and you are doing wonderful and fine and more than enough in this world, and I'm really proud of you. So I will talk to you on next week's episode of Moments. Hopefully she'll be a little bit lighter hearted and a happier topic. I just figured I might as well share with you how a brain works when it is struggling with something, because we see it once in a while, but not so often. So love you guys big, forever and always. Also, pre-order the Moments Journal. You guys know how I feel about journaling. You can pre-order it now, and it comes out April 23rd. So it would mean the world to me if you supported me. This has been my little dream, my little passion project for who knows how long now, over 2 years. So it's wonderful to be finally at the point where I'm sharing it with you and it's physical, and I get the final copy tomorrow. So I'm going to crap my brains out when that happens. But thank you guys for everything. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.